Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome once again to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
What's up, dude?
What's up, dude?
Welcome back. I kind of get the shakes.
I know.
No hockey for a couple days. I don't count the All-Star game as watching real hockey.
Not exactly. But we are up to episode 31, and you know what that means.
Number 31 in Sharks history?
That's right. Who you got?
Well, the easiest is Steve Shields.
That's right. Steve Shields, who was the starting goaltender before Nabokov.
That's right.
Any others? I'll give you a hint. There's only three in Sharks history. You got one of them. The other two are both goalies.
Wade Flaherty.
Excellent. Are you going to go 3 for 3?
I'm going to.
This is not rehearsed, listeners. Can you? I'll give you a hint.
Nolan Schaefer.
Oh, that's awesome, dude. Did you look at my paper?
No, but I did look it up before the show.
You bastard. I was about to give you some props, but you cheated.
This is a hard one. Come on now.
You cheated. Dude, Steve Shields is good.
Dude, I can't lie to the listeners. I can't lie.
That's good.
But I did take the time to prepare.
Very good, dude.
Dude, I have a confession.
Okay.
I was so jonesing for hockey over this break that I watched the ECHL All-Star game.
Was there anybody, any name that you even recognized?
No, and I was dying to see someone, like a familiar face or something. It was pretty bleak, but I didn't watch it in great detail, but I did have it on as background noise because I felt like, you know that show on A&E, Intervention?
Yeah.
Where the guy comes, I feel like the guy's going to come to my house any day now,
right?
And sit me down with like my wife. But the thing is like, you know, they always have their friends and family there. So like my family would be there, my wife, and then you would be there. And then like, they'd be like, you have a hockey problem. I'd be like, and you'd pull out your letter, you know, and you'd right. be like, yeah. Dude, you have a hockey problem. I'm really concerned about you. You know, I'd be like, dude, you have a hockey problem, you know?
And then I'd say guilty as charged.
I know. You know what I'd say to you?
Hmm.
You know what I'd say to you? I would say to you,
dude,
that's what I'd say. That's exactly what I'd say.
Or would you say,
dude?
Yeah, be maybe more like this one.
Dude.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Dude, it's good to be back.
It's good to be back. There was one hockey game, one actual Sharks game, which we watched tonight. We will get to the All-Star game, and we have plenty of takes on that. But we got to start with the Sharks because we always start with the Sharks. It was Sharks at Colorado tonight. Sharks came away with a nice little win, 3-0.
Yeah.
And
it's pretty boring.
It was kind of a boring game.
Avalanche, boring.
Yeah. They're not very good.
No. They're pretty banged up, but boy, that's a pretty dull team. I as a fan, I would almost be praying to be snowed in so I won't have to go watch that trash.
Avalanche, they're decimated by injuries, and they're not even very good, even if they weren't decimated by injuries. I mean, Stastny and Sakic are the main ones that are out, right? Is there anybody else?
Stastny, Sakic, Adam Foote's out.
Yeah.
There are some other guys who I think are out, too. But
you picked them to make the playoffs,
too. I did. I think if they had been healthy, they might have had a chance, but... Mm. I liked their blue line if healthy, but you know they're in pretty sad shape, and their goalie situation is.
Well, let me
read bad. Raycroft wasn't terrible tonight, but
he wasn't bad. Let me read you the three notes that I had for the Colorado game. Semenov good, Nabby good, Avs bad. That's all I wrote down.
I've come to the conclusion that we don't need Dan Boyle.
Yeah, because we have Semenov.
We don't need him. We have Semenov. I think we owe him an apology.
It's alive! It's alive!
He actually, the last two games, has not been bad.
No. He's been actually good.
No. Well, now...
He had one shift that was probably the best shift of his entire career. He had two hits. I think he blocked something.
And then he drew a 4-minute penalty by bleeding.
That's... Yeah.
He got high-sticked, and I started screaming at the television, bleed!
Bleed!
Bleed green monster blood.
And yet he obeyed.
He did. He did. So for the last... For tonight, at least, I take it back. He was physical.
Mm-hmm.
Given he was playing against, like, a bantam peewee team
tonight,
but... You know, we needed him tonight because no Boyle is not good, but evidently it's not serious.
Although Rob Blake was back in the lineup, we saw the same forward lines we've been seeing, you know, all season long. But the defense is in and out. Jocelyn, he's coming along. The thing is, I've seen some people sort of bag a little bit on Jocelyn. Let's just give it a little perspective. The guy's 21 years old, and he has 9 or 10 NHL games under his belt. You can't expect this guy to jump in and just suddenly be awesome and play 18 minutes a night.
Can't we give Jocelyn a chance?
We got to give him a chance.
He deserves a chance. I think, you know, I don't know.
I think people are getting too spoiled on young defensemen with Vlasic. Drew Doughty's in the league. People think that you can come into the league as a 19, 21, or 19 or 20-year-old and suddenly be awesome, and it's just really not the case. It used to be you needed a couple years under your belt to even grow into where you're at, and even great young players like Jack Johnson, we've seen that. So
he looks like an NHL defenseman to me.
Right.
He looks like a guy who's going to play in the league, whether it's going to be for us or someone else.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing at an extremely high level at the AHL level. He needs to be in the NHL full-time next year somewhere. And, you know, maybe it'll be with us. I don't know. But
he won the AHL hardest shot competition.
Yes, he did.
98.6 miles per hour.
Impressive.
It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. We haven't seen him unleash that sucker in a game, really. But
no.
I just don't think there's just not as much time to cork it up in the NHL game. So
you mean when you're standing there alone with no one coming down on you, you can just cork it up all you want?
That's but that never happens in the NHL, so you don't have that kind of time.
True.
Well, enough with Colorado. Let's talk about the All-Star game and the All-Star skills competition. That's really basically what happened since we last had a podcast. There's actually a little bit of controversy involved, which we'll get to. There's the game and the skills competition, which we should start out with. So the game was supposedly the main attraction.
First penalty in 10 years?
10 years.
Mike Komisarek took a hook in the overtime. A little power play, didn't matter, but I got a kick out of that, actually. I had it on, kind of half watched it. The third period was interesting.
Mm-hmm. You could tell there was actually a little bit of competition there. They kind of wanted to win.
Sure.
When it got down to it, all three Sharks in the game had points. They all had multiple points.
They had 8 points total.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Dominant. Just like the regular season.
The bad news was Dan Boyle somehow got injured and didn't play tonight. So
I think he was raising his fist too many times to celebrate a goal. 11 goals? Come on.
Shoulder injury from raising his fist. Yeah. But for me, for the past few years, for me, the real attraction is the skills competition. And actually, of all the years, this skills competition this year had both a highlight I didn't expect and didn't live up to the expectations, my normally low expectations. But the only thing I really liked was the shootout elimination. I thought that was cool.
Uh-huh.
The fastest skater competition, it didn't really do it for me. Hardest shot, usually accuracy has a little bit of drama. This year, it kind of didn't. I don't know why, but I don't know if they were rushing it too much and they were trying to get in it, and it lacked something for me.
What'd you think of Ovechkin's antics?
You know, I like last year's trick shot competition better. I mean, if you need a hat and sunglasses to make your amazing skill look amazing, then that means you're doing something wrong.
I heard tonight in the game against the Bruins, he changed the back of his jersey to actually Carrot Top.
It's just, you know, two sticks, a hat, and sunglasses. That's all you need. And like four of the guys tried that little move where you pick up the puck on your stick and like sort of throw it at the net. And all four guys, four guys tried that. You couldn't think of something better. Nobody tried the little flip it to yourself and knock it out of the air thing. I thought that was kind of a cool move last year. So
I heard a rumor that Kovalchuk was actually going to pull Spud Webb out of his jersey and dunk him.
That would be cool.
Yeah, but, you know, it didn't happen.
The best move for that for me was Ryan Getzlaff when he went around behind the net and sort of reenacted that Michigan play.
Yeah.
Got over the goalie's shoulder. I thought that was pretty cool. That was the best of the night. But somehow they gave it to Ovechkin because he put on some sunglasses. But
props for props.
But the skills competition, it's all harmless fun. But what isn't harmless is the fact that the NHL was pushing down some suspensions to two Red Wings that didn't show up. Datsyuk and Lidstrom, they were the only Red Wings that were supposed to show up. They didn't show up. Gary Bettman dropped the hammer on them. Then they were both suspended or banned or whatever term you want to use for tonight's game that they had against Columbus, which they lost in overtime. So clearly that hurt the Wings quite a bit. So I wanted to get your take on the suspensions because I kind of have an opinion about it. And I just want, what do you think?
Well, I guess the check went through from Doug Wilson to Gary Bettman.
That's right. It cleared.
I posted about this. My feeling on it is this, is if you're selected to go to the All-Star game, unless you are injured and unable to play, like you haven't been playing, or in Doc Suit's case, like he left the game against Phoenix with an injury. He left.
And so did Lidstrom.
So Lidstrom left the game?
I believe he did.
I knew Brad Stewart left the game. I didn't know Lidstrom left the game. You have to take a look and see how many minutes he played. But in that case, if you are hurt, unable to go, if I'm looking here, Dotsuk played 14 minutes. Lidstrom played 26, so he didn't leave that game.
Okay.
He actually scored 2 goals. So, you know, he might be banged up. Sure, he's got tendonitis. He's old. You know, I hear that. But you've been healthy enough to play in the majority of your team's games. You're voted into the All-Star game. You're picked to play. You need to go. Or you need to at least do what Crosby did and show up and go through the motions here. Dotsuk, different story. But my take on it is this. Suspension, you know, I don't think that that's fair because now all of a sudden we're putting the exhibition game over a regular season game. This is a double standard.
Right.
That, you know, the teams are allowed to hide the injury status of players during the regular season. Oh, he has a upper body injury, or, you know, he has a, you know, lower contusion of his middle fibula or whatever. I mean, it's just garbage, you know, how they try and explain, you know, the injuries. But then if you don't show up to the All-Star game, well, I'm going to suspend you.
Right.
You better have full disclosure for an exhibition game. You better.
You know,
doesn't seem right to me.
You know, when I first thought about it, and when you first wrote that, I read what you wrote, and I said, you know, that totally makes sense. I mean, the All-Star game is a trivial matter. It's an exhibition situation. It's doesn't have any weight in the grand scheme of things in the season at all. And so if you don't go, it's not a big deal. But then I read an article, I think it was on Puck Daddy, that really kind of changed my mind. And the reasoning was this. It's a really big event for sponsors and for fans, and to get the word out to hockey fans. Now, those guys didn't have to play. If they're injured, then you don't play. And the NHL shouldn't say, you have to play, you don't have to play. But what the NHL, I think, does have a right to do is say, you got to show up. The biggest stars in the game have to show up and put on this show, which is exactly what it is. It's a performance. It's a, you know, it's almost like a Broadway show where they trot these guys out, the best players in the game, and they have to show up just like Crosby did. Crosby showed up. He didn't play. He waved to the crowd and went on his merry way, probably signed a few autographs or a lot of autographs. And that's what Dotsuk and Lidstrom should have done. I mean, they're not that far from Montreal, and they should have showed up. And the other thing is we talked to Dan Rusinowski on Sunday on the radio show, and I had a question about this because I wasn't real clear on it, but the players knew that this was in the cards. This didn't just come out of left field and Gary Bettman suddenly spun the wheel of justice and said, you guys both get a game. They knew ahead of time, and it was released on Friday, that these guys would not be able to play on Tuesday. And it was Friday. They could have flown out there on Saturday and gone, but they chose not to. They chose to get the game. So for me, I sort of understand it now. Maybe it's a trivial matter playing in the All-Star game or not, but you got to show up because hockey is in a very competitive entertainment market, and they should, the best player should be there, period.
Or we're not talking about Neil Diamond having like a raspy throat here. Like, we're talking about Pavel Datsyuk has a hip injury. So you're supposed to, as a Detroit Red Wings owner, you're supposed to tell Pavel Datsyuk, who you're paying $6.7 million a year, I know you're hurt, but I want you to get on a plane, go to the airport, get on a plane, endure a flight, go stay in a hotel, don't get any treatment for your injury, and go do a press conference. I mean, yeah, maybe you can get treatment when you're in Montreal, but not from our staff. And then I want you to travel back to Detroit. Instead of resting, I want you to put yourself through 2 days of, you know, a dog and pony show, and you're not going to play. I don't think that's right. I think if a player's injured, they shouldn't be penalized for not being able to go. Now, Lidstrom's been healthy enough to play. So then if you're healthy enough to play, then you're healthy enough to
to show up.
To show up.
Right.
And I think that that's the difference. But even in the case of Crosby, who probably would not have been able to play anyways, he shouldn't have been forced to go. He's hurt. He should have been able to stay home. The regular season is more important. And the All-Star game is still going to go on if Crosby's not there. It did. It didn't matter. He stood up and he waved.
Right.
So to me, I think if you don't go, if you decline to go, then you're not eligible to go to the All-Star game next year. You can't even be on the ballot.
Okay.
That's wow. what I think. So, and for these guys, this costs them money. I'm sure in a lot of their contracts, they get an incentive for being picked for the All-Star team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, it's got to be substantial. You know, it's $50,000, $100,000 or whatever. If you get picked for the All-Star team, that's money out of their pocket. That's a big deal, you know, to anyone. So
that's interesting.
Maybe you just make them not eligible the next year. You can't even be eligible to go. Hmm. You're out.
That's one way to do it. Yeah, that could be interesting. Like I said, I think it's a marketing tool. You definitely banning them from next year's game, serves that, it goes against that idea again. I mean, if Crosby's going to be banned from the best guy in the game is not going to be able to go to the All-Star game. I mean, that's shooting yourself in the foot on that.
Right, but my whole thing is he shouldn't be banned. Period. He's right. Hurt. Lidstrom now. I mean, but that's another thing. You know, he's a great ambassador for the game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He should have gone.
Yeah.
In his case, he should have gone. And but I can also see the other side.
We know from Datsyuk's acceptance speeches at the award ceremony last year, he's not exactly a stunning conversationalist, so it's not like he was going to be giving a riveting press conference.
What are you talking about? He's an orator of a generation.
he's like Frederick Douglass.
Award is good. I like award.
Thank you very much for trophy.
I am kind and gentle on ice.
But you had some other ideas for improvements. So I know, you know, because... Most of all, I think we thought the game was a little lackluster. I certainly thought the skills competition overall, except for the shootout elimination, was pretty lackluster. So we came up with some ideas here,
dude,
to spruce up the All-Star game. What do you got?
I feel bad for the goalies in this game. I always do. They get just totally lit up and torched.
Yeah, they do.
And they look like tools. You know, Jaguar looked like if he could have fit a shotgun in that mask and blown his brains out, like he would have done it in the first period. He looked just beyond miserable.
He did.
And I'm sure McClellan was enjoying every minute of it.
Mm-hmm.
But why are we torturing the best goalies in the game by making them sit through it? I think the best goalies should get to sit in a suite, fully catered.
Nice.
Open bar.
Of course.
And that the goalies that have to play in the game are the two goalies with the worst goals against average and the worst save percentage in each conference. So if you're the worst, then you get lit up.
You have to play.
At the All-Star game. So this year's starters, dude, would have been for the Eastern Conference. Johan Hedberg with a 3.73 goals against average. They have to have played 20 games to be eligible.
Right.
And Vesa Toskola would have been the other goalie. Then 0.885 save percentage. And in the West, rather embarrassing, Chris Osgood, 3.23 goals against. And he actually has the worst save percentage, too. So we had to dig a little deeper and go with your favorite.
My favorite.
Marty Turco.
Nah.
So if you're sucking during the season, then guess what? You get lit up at the All-Star game on national TV.
You don't even get to go.
Nah. Yeah.
You get to go and get lit.
Yeah, you have to go.
You have to
And
go.
You get humiliated.
You That's get humiliated. Pretty funny. So. I have something along those lines. I was thinking, you know, they had the stunning conversation of Mark Savard giving in-game commentary, which, you know, was not exactly thrilling.
My legs are a little stiff. He said it like five times.
Hold on, boys. I got to go play.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. My legs are a little stiff. You know what, buddy? You're a little stiff.
Yeah.
You're really thrilling. Way to go.
I was thinking you surreptitiously mic everybody on the bench and then an after-the-fact trash-talking contest. So you cut and paste like the best like trash-talking. It could be amongst players on the same team because you know these guys love to rib each other when, you know, it's like Mark Strait like fell down over the barrier in the skills competition. You know they're going to crap about that for days. So, you know, you tape all that stuff and then you play it in the intermissions, you know, after each period. You know, you don't want X's and O's in the All-Star game intermission. So what you do is you have playback little clips, bleep out the curse words, and you have some trash talk in there. That could be pretty fun.
America's funniest hockey videos.
That's right. Almost.
Or Montreal's funniest hockey videos.
There you go.
That sounds good, dude. I've got one more suggestion.
Okay.
I think instead of the young superstars game, which I thought was a failure.
Yes.
Boring to me. I think you take from each conference the four players, four forwards with the most fighting majors, and the four defensemen with the four fighting majors, and you make them play a 4-on-4 game with no fighting and no contact allowed.
Right.
Running clock for 20 minutes.
There you go.
And you let them show off the skills that they're not allowed to show off during the regular game. I think people would be pumped up. For the West, you'd see Jared Bull, Daniel Carcillo, Zach Stortini, and Cam Jansen, with Steve Montador, McIver, and Shane O'Brien, and Matt Green. And for the East, Riley Cote, Eric Goddard, Chris Neal, Aaron Asham, Francis Bouillon, which is the most surprising. He had four fighting majors. Boris Valabik. I don't even know who that guy is. He plays for Atlanta. Nick Boynton and Garnet Exelby. So there you have it, dude. 4-on-4 running clock.
The Bruiser Bowl.
No fighting, no contact. The Bruiser Bowl.
That could be fun.
I would totally dig it. And I'd be bummed that we'd have no one representing us.
Yeah, and that'd be the other thing. It could be like sort of an interesting subplot during the regular season. Like you want Shelly to drop more so he can play in the game.
Yeah.
Like that would be really cool.
Yeah. So
that's a good one.
Come on, okay, Batman.
Here's my last one. A goalie shootout, right?
Not
the shootout, like shooting on goalies. You have a defenseman standing in the net with regular pads, and the goalie comes in on a shootout wearing the goalie equipment, helmet, chest protector, leg pads, and everything, and then the goalie has to shoot.
Dude, that's a good one.
So it's like the reverse shootout. So the goalies can get a little, you know, the goalies can get a little comeuppance on the guys, you know. They can just, and they can score, too. That's the other thing. The other idea is you could actually have the goalie shoot from full rink and try to get into the other net, which I think would be pretty funny, too.
Yeah.
But a goalie shootout where you turn the tables.
Batman needs to listen to us. Yes. We're going to try and get in his ear when we go to New York. Dude, that's coming up.
That's coming up.
Our trip to New Jersey. See the Sharks at New Jersey Devils coming up.
That week is, yeah, that it's going to be a couple weeks from now, so it's going to be awesome.
2 weeks.
If you got more ideas for enhancing All-Star Weekend, Dudes on Hockey fans, make sure to send us an email, questions@dudesonhockey.com. Before I get into the next little bit, I do want to read an email that we got, our buddy Chris from Boston.
Chris,
he wanted to reassure us that he is definitely a Sharks fan above all else, and that the Bruins are a distant second in his book. And Chris, we weren't trying to accuse you of not being loyal to the Sharks, not at all. But actually, Chris does have a question, and he said, "What do you think about Marlowe and Thornton both wearing the C for the Sharks? They're almost always mentioned in the same breath when talking about the leadership in the dressing room. Seems a little silly that Thornton has captain the Bruins and now the All-Star team, but not his own club. Has any team ever had two players with the C in the same game? Is it even allowed?" And he would love to see Thornton and Marlowe with the C and Greer and Boyle the A. Well, Chris, actually, I looked this up, and it's actually not allowed in the new rule book. Rule 6.1, if you want to be really, you know, funny and legal about it.
Oh, my.
It says you can only have one captain on the ice on a roster, and you can have two assistant captains in that case, or alternately, you could go three assistant captains and no C. So that's it's very explicit in the rule book for whatever reason. So it's just not possible to have two captains, and it's never happened as far as I know. I think it's been in the rule book since time immemorium. So I believe that's always been the case, Chris. But it's an interesting question, just not allowed, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think last year when we were talking about this subject, we probably would have said it, you know, Marlowe's captaincy has run its course,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it's time to give Joe the C. But this year, definitely, you know, actions have been speaking on the ice that this is definitely Marlowe's team. He's found new life, and I can't see any reason to take the C away from him.
That's right. And, dude, you know what time it is?
Dude, what time is it?
Dude, normally this would be time for Lemieux Watch 2009. But
awesome.
We have to retire the bit, dude. Lemieux is here.
That's true. He played 9 minutes tonight.
He played tonight. He played well.
Almost scored again. A little nice shot from the side.
So it doesn't make sense to do Lemieux Watch 2009 any more than it makes sense to do, you know, Marcel Gotch 2009 or Derek Jocelyn 2009. That just doesn't make sense.
Okay.
So, you know, we got to come up with a new bit, right?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
We kind of kicked around a few ideas.
Yeah, okay. So you know, so what do you got? I know we had some ideas we were throwing around before the show.
How about German techno favorites with Christian Ehrhoff and Marcel Gotch?
All right, let's try it.
Hello, and welcome to German techno favorites with Christian Ehrhoff and Marcel Gotch.
That's right.
Gotch is swinging his techno blogger on Sharks roster.
That's right.
I like vlogging and I like the techno.
That's right.
Have you heard this techno song before? It's called
That's right.
Marcel Sing Along with German Song.
That's right.
Do you wish the segment would end, please God?
That's right.
It's not going to work.
You don't think so?
No.
It's a little catchy. Believe it or not, I think that song goes on for another 15, 20 minutes just like that.
That's
pretty cool.
That's right.
All right. So okay, what else we got? We got some other ideas, yeah?
We talked about maybe Jody Shelley sings Broadway hits.
Could be good.
$525,600 penalty minutes. 525,000 punches to fear. 525,600 penalty minutes. I can't feel anything, it's too much beer.
Boo!
What the f- did you say?
Boo, you suck.
I hate you, Peros, you. I like Rent.
Could be good.
Yeah, he might run out of material.
Yeah, you know, the first episode would be gangbusters.
It would be. Be West Side Story.
Ooh, West Side Story. I sense a recurring bit.
It does have the Sharks.
That's true. Oh, God.
And the Winnipeg Jets.
I'm glad your Broadway knowledge has finally come in handy.
Oh, let's move on.
All right. So
we did come up with a winner.
Okay, we finally did. It's called Moving On Up, where we talk about this close to the trade deadline, who could get moved and who may not.
That's right. Some of these players are going to get moved on up. They're going to upgrade from a lowly situation potentially to something a little bit more favorable. So moving on up, just like the Jeffersons, dude. Who do you got?
All right. So.
Oh, wait. No, we've got some ground rules. I'm sorry.
There's rules.
We're not allowed to use any players that are very active in the rumor mill. For example, Gabrick.
J-Bo Meester.
Thomas Cabrelet.
Even LeCavalier.
LeCavalier would
he's
be
off limits.
Off limits. And Kovalchuk.
Okay.
Those are five players that we're not going to speculate on because, you know, that everybody's speculated on them.
That's boring.
We're going to try and make some predictions here. Whichever of us gets the most correct, then the other one has to buy the other one a beer.
Okay, sounds good.
Because I think one of us will hit pay dirt here at some point.
And I think we're going to put this on the poll question so you can vote on which one of us is the bigger idiot in terms of picking a player.
And of course, we would love to hear who you think's moving on up by emailing us at questions@dudesonhockey.com. Dude, who do you got?
Okay, so it's a little weird. It's a little out of left field. I think Phoenix, we've talked about before, is going to be selling. I think they're selling Shane Doan.
Whoa!
I think Shane Doan is going to go. He's going to get a lot of value for that club. He's a great player. You saw how great he was. He won the shootout competition. This guy's got moves. He's in this wasteland of hockey, and I think people in the know want Shane Doan on their team. He fights hard, he works hard, and he can score. So Shane Doan is a high-value player that I think Phoenix will trade by the trade deadline.
Now, he's their captain, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
He's the identity of the team. He's Gretzky's guy. They just signed him to an extension. That's going to be a tough thing for that fan base to swallow.
I know. I just have a funny feeling that they are reeling down there from financial problems, and I think everybody is going to be on the block. There's no sacred cows in that organization right now. They will do whatever they need to do in order to save the franchise, and I think they might move Shane Doan for some young talent. They could get a lot for him, and they got a lot of good young talent now, and I think they could get a heck of a lot more if they get rid of him.
He's going to have to want to leave because he's got a no movement clause.
I believe so.
So, you know, but possibly, you know, sinking ship, financial problems, maybe he'll want out. Dude,
that's right. Who you
this
got?
Is who I've got, who I think might be moving on up. If they continue to slide, Scott Niedermeyer.
Wow, okay.
Scott Niedermeyer, see you later.
Wow.
Ducks have to be looking towards the future here.
Yeah.
I think they're delusional if they think they're going to make a deep cup run this year because there's too many good teams standing in their way. Calgary's better. We're better. Detroit's better. Mm-hmm. Chicago's better.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be able to leapfrog any of us. They'll give them a good series, but they should trade Niedermeyer and rebuild for the future, which they really need a lot of pieces. So I've got a couple of scenarios here for you. How about Niedermeyer to the Rangers?
Yeah.
For Mark Stahl and a first-round pick. So that helps the Ducks, gives them a young blue liner. Mm-hmm. They need desperately, and a first round pick? Or how about, could you see Scott Niedermeyer on the Flyers?
Oh, man.
And they have the most to offer. The Flyers are so deep right now as far as, you know, they've got Van Riemsdyk. They could offer Giroux and Ryan Parent to Niedermeyer and really not miss them too terribly. And Niedermeyer could be the difference maker for a team in the East. What if he even went back to New Jersey, Mike?
Could happen. They need D.
They're not shying away from the old card either. I mean, so do they have the depth as far as prospects to make the deal?
Maybe. I don't know their farm system.
Yeah, I don't know it either. On the surface, from what they've got running around out there, it looks like no. Even if they offered Oduya, you know, he's either restricted or unrestricted at the end of the year, so there's no guarantees that the Ducks are going to be able to keep him. But Scott Niedermeyer, if the Ducks continue to slide, I think we should keep our eye on him. He does not have a no trade.
Interesting. Yeah, and this is his last year, so there's no assurance that he will even be there next year.
Maybe it'll be a brothers package.
Could be.
Scott and Rob traded together. We'll hold hands on the plane.
They play together and get shipped together.
See you later.
All right, well, that does it for this week's Dudes on Hockey, and make sure to read our blog at sharks.hockeyanalysis.com, and you can email us with ideas, questions, and comments, as always, and we will be looking forward to talking to you again next week, same time, same place.
That's right!
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.